The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of Talk 1230 WYTS, its staff, management, or parent company, Clear Channel. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of receiving an actual dental exam. Time now for Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 821-1230, that's 821-1230, to discuss your dental issues. Now here's Dr. Kvitko on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but were too numb to ask. So, we appreciate you getting up on this cold Sunday morning. Looks like the leaves are pretty much gone from most of the trees. In fact, I think they're all in my yard. And if I'm lucky, maybe by the time I get off this morning, my wife won't have raked them all. What do you think? Anyway, today's show, we're very fortunate to have with us in the studio as our guest, Dr. Tom Klein. Dr. Klein is a 1983 Michigan State University graduate of the Veterinary College and is currently an adjunct professor of dentistry at the Ohio State University College of Veterinary Medicine. So he's a veterinary dentist. He has served as a board member of the Capital Area Humane Society, and he's a past president of the Ohio Veterinary Medical Association and board member of the American Veterinary Dental Society. Dr. Tom, which is how he likes to go by, also is co-owner, along with his veterinarian wife, Sue, of East Hilliard Veterinary Services. This is a small animal and exotics hospital in Hilliard, started in 1987. Dr. Tom sees dental referral cases from a multi-state area around Ohio for many types of oral, dental, and facial conditions in all animal species. Well, that's pretty cool. Dr. Klein, thanks so much for getting up and being with us today.
This
topic is of great importance to me, or interest to me, for a couple reasons. One is that my daughter is a fourth-year vet student, so she'll be a veterinarian herself here come May or June if everything works out well. And from what I understand, so far it is. And the other is I'm just an animal lover. I've always had cats and a dog and fish and, pretty much hamsters, gerbils. Well, I don't even know the difference anymore. but anyway, in fact, if it weren't for my cat, I think I might have been late this morning because I'd overslept a little bit, and she was came up and was sitting on my chest purring, which means, I love you, Dad, but really I'm hungry. So before we do get on to our discussion with Dr. Klein, though, he's been nice enough to help me with Dr. Kvitko's question of the day. I guess we could call this one Dr. Klein's question of the day, and that is, what percent of a general veterinary practice is spent on dental care? So think about it. What percent of a general veterinary practice is spent on dental care? Now, that doesn't include Dr. Klein's practice because that's all he does. All he does is teeth. And I also found it interesting that, as you may or may not know, that a lot of times we communicate with potential guests by email. And Dr. Klein's email address has the word tooth in it, and it's like, mine doesn't even have the word tooth in it. How'd that happen? He got it before I could, I think. Before we get on to that discussion, I do want to mention a couple things, and that is, Dr. Kvitko & Associates is a co-sponsor of the Kroger Marketplace Women's Expo and Women's and Family Expo this year, December 6th and 7th, at the Ohio Expo Center in the Celeste Building. And because of that, we have some free tickets to give away, so if you'd like to call us at 821-1230, we'll take a certain number of those callers and just give away free tickets. You don't have to be the 10th or 11th or 13th caller. We'll just let our producer decide. Also, we'll take everyone's name that calls and enter you into a drawing to receive a free whitening at the expo, so you'd come down to the expo with one of those free tickets, and we would whiten your teeth. So that's pretty cool. 821-1230 is that phone number. You can send us emails to dentallyspeakingontalk1230@yahoo.com. Although right now my email, I'm having a little trouble getting that to open. I might try it one more time during the break. Okay, so let's get down to business, which is Dr. Klein, Dr. Tom, as he likes to go by. And I have questions that I have gathered from folks over the last several weeks, knowing that we were probably going to have you on as a guest. So let's start right in. And I have a question here. How often should you have your pet's teeth cleaned?
I think that's probably the most common question that our clients ask us when they bring their pets in. It's variable. It's kind of like it is with people. And when you go to your office, I'm sure there's some of your patients that have to be seen every 6 months, every 3 months, once a year, once every 2 years possibly for a cleaning. And in dogs and cats, it's similar. They all have variable rates of how much plaque they put on.
Yes.
And so I would say an average would be once a year for dogs and cats.
Okay. And I guess I want to back up a little bit because we were talking before we went on the air, and it surprised me that Dr. Tom specializes in teeth, but he's a veterinarian. I just thought it would have been the other way around. You take a dentist who really loves animals and would get into doing dental work on animals. So how did this come about?
Well, we have to take our hats off to the human dental profession, because they've certainly led the way in providing great oral health for people. And so it's a really easy step for our owners of our pets to see that their patients can have dental disease too, because you've done such a great job of informing the public about it. And indeed, in the beginning of our specialty, we had human dentists that led the way, teaching us a lot of the techniques and diagnoses that that they've learned during the human dental courses.
Okay. So, and now it's evolved. I think you said it's been about, 20, 25 years ago, this notion of taking care of animal teeth, just like human teeth, got its start. How long have you been doing it?
About 18 or 19 years. The first maybe 8 or 9 years of my practice was a general small animal practice, and I also did a lot of dairy cattle work before I got into dentistry, so it's a little bit varied, but probably about 17, 18 years.
So I'm a little bit of a facetious question. Do dairy cattle have calcium deficiencies in their teeth?
They do not. They do not.
You wouldn't expect it, anyway, would you?
No, they have plenty of milk. So much that they actually make calcium.
Actually, that's a question that we get a lot when people say, I have cavities and I didn't drink enough milk, or should I drink more milk? And the obvious answer is, if your body needs calcium, it doesn't take it from your teeth, it takes it from your bones, which is rickets or brittle bone disease. So, but anyway, it is something that comes up out there. All right, next question is, are rawhide chews good for your dog's teeth, or should you give them a product known as a greenie?
Well, any type of oral chewing devices for removing plaque, and we're talking about dogs specifically when you talk about rawhides, there are so many choices that our consumers have to make when they go to pet stores, aisles and aisles of chew toys, and how do they decide what's safe? And rawhides constitute a lot of the chew toys that are there. And I think, for the most part, they can be safe, although we consider them to be adult supervision chewing devices. So sometimes you'll have a dog. I had a Boston Terrier before the one I have now, that if I gave him a rawhide, no matter how large it was, he would try to swallow it whole. Oh. And obviously, that would not benefit that dog's teeth.
That sounds like some of my patients and the food that they eat.
Yeah, that's true. But so rawhides can be very safe. We generally recommend the largest rawhide we can, so that the dogs can actually go through the chewing process, and then take them away when they get kind of soggy, so they can dry out and give it to them a following day.
Okay, and then what is a greenie for the people that don't know what a greenie is?
Yeah, a greenie is the brand name of a chew biscuit that came out that had an extended time that they could chew on it before it would break down, compared to say like a milk bone that would break down right away.
Okay,
and greenies actually are they're tested by the American Veterinary Dental College, and it's kind of like the ADA yes. certification, and they are definitely effective at removing plaque.
Okay, but not calculus or tartar.
That's correct. It's just a plaque-removing agent, but it does help tremendously in dogs.
Because I think people have this mistaken notion that if you give your dog or your pet one of those chew toys that's supposed to, quote, clean their teeth, they maybe don't need their teeth cleaned as often, and calculus, tartar, just like in humans, is so hard it has to be scraped off with metal instruments, correct?
Yes, that is correct. There are some exceptions to the rule. There are actually some prescription foods available that have a plaque and tartar and calculus label on them. They actually reduce those, and one is called TD, made by the Hills Company. And so that one does work. So TD for tooth diet.
Okay, and yeah. Does it actually, it then softens the calculus and allows it to be chewed away, so to speak?
Yeah, that's correct. Most of its effectiveness is due to the high fiber nature of it. These are like, they look like walnut size for a large dog, and the tooth penetrates into it before it shatters, which actually kind of scrubs or breaks the calculus off.
Okay.
It works very well in that respect. And
so there's nothing like it that a human could do?
For their pets or
no,
for that human could use?
Can we eat walnut shells and clean our teeth and not have to go to the dentist?
I think if we tried one of those TD pellets, we might be visiting you for a fractured tooth.
Okay. Just want to make sure people aren't getting any ideas out there. Can you fill a dog's tooth if it has a cavity? And how do you know when a dog has a toothache?
The first question is a definite yes. It's not too common that dogs get cavities, and they usually get them in their upper back teeth or their upper molars, and sometimes their lower molars also on the flat surfaces that are similar to the way our teeth are shaped. And so you certainly can fill those as long as they're not too deep where they might necessitate root canal or other therapy similar to what you may do for your own patients.
Okay, and I know I gave you a two-pronged question, but before you go to the second half of that answer or question, what do you use to fill a dog's tooth with then if you find a cavity?
Well, we used to use a lot of amalgam,
yes,
just like in people. I know one of your previous episodes talked about that. But now we primarily use composites that actually are the same color as the surrounding tooth. So it's very, we learn a lot of techniques from from your profession.
Okay. So, and then the owner, I assume, can choose?
We generally make the choice for them because typically I'll use almost 100% synthetic composites.
Okay. Okay, and then how do you know if your dog has a toothache? Or I guess, people know, they hold their hand and they point to their lower jaw, for example, but a dog, I guess, just gets lethargic or isn't acting normal, or what happens?
Many times the dogs will, people use eating as a guide, but many times the dogs will continue to eat. They'll find some way to manage because they don't really have a choice. They'll try to eat on the other side, which is what a lot of our clients will tell us their dogs are doing. Or if their cats are painful, they may approach their food and then run away from it because they anticipate there's going to be some pain. So there can be some very dramatic signs from oral pain in dogs and cats.
Okay. Is there a certain breed of cat or dog that's more prone to either cavities, and again, a two-pronged question, or periodontal disease?
Yeah, the most common cause of dental disease in dogs and cats is periodontal disease. And we figure that probably 75% of our pets that are over 2 years of age have at least some periodontal disease present, which is a tremendous number. So all of your listeners should probably take a chance to take an opportunity to look at their cats and dogs' teeth. But periodontal disease is much more common in small toy breeds, and it's more common in purebred dogs and cats.
So those little teacup dogs they carry around have gum disease more often than your big Alaskan Husky or something?
That's exactly right. The larger the dog, the less periodontal disease they tend to get.
I'll be darned. And do you think it's because of the food they're able to eat, those heartier, heavier, what am I trying to say, the scratchier food, so to speak?
Well, and they tend to use their teeth more in the large breeds for carrying things around. They're much more orally active dogs than, say, a small little poodle would be. Plus, their teeth are much closer together in a small dog, so periodontal disease will tend to spread quicker. Their bone structure is much thinner also.
Great. We have several more questions, as you can imagine, and if anybody would like to call in your own question, you can call 821-1230. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS. We'll be right back.
So hear me when I'm saying, smiling faces sometimes.
Talk 1230 WYTS, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but We're Too Numb to Ask. And we want people to know that this show is available by podcast by going to www.talk1230wyts.com. Once you're there, just click on air, drop-down box appears. choose Dr. Kvitko. In the middle of my page, it says click here to go to podcast page, and if you left-click on the word listen, you can listen to any of the previous shows, including this one, at about 10:30 this morning. All right, so we are talking to Dr. Tom Klein, and Dr. Klein is a veterinary dentist. He exclusively does teeth on animals. And although he does, he also does, besides cats and dogs and the things you would expect, he also does large and exotic animals, and if we have time, we're going to get to that as well. And if not, we may even ask him to come back next week and talk about the exotic and the zoo animals and that sort of thing. All right, so let's go to the phones. We have Bill. Bill from Columbus has a question for Dr. Klein. Bill, welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Thank you, sir. Dr. Klein, I have a quick question about, is there any, like dental plans for animals with insurance companies, or is it possible to get one, like, just to maybe help avert the cost?
That's a great question, Bill. There are several veterinary insurance programs that are available. One of them is called VPI out of California. They've been in business the longest, but and all of the dental, all of the veterinary programs of insurance do cover some of the dental care in dogs and cats to some degree. They obviously are some restrictions, as in anything else, but they're not specific dental programs, but they are veterinary health insurance programs that include dental care.
And I think that I'm not sure if the dental insurance is a good idea, or I mean the veterinary dental insurance is a good idea or a bad idea, because I think there's some pretty widespread agreement that and when it comes to humans, it's not exactly the best system out there. Are you looking forward to dental insurance for pets, or would you rather the yeah?
Well, I think that this particular company I know that I have the most experience with has been very fair about things. A very low amount of paperwork for the veterinarians, but it's also very beneficial to the clients. There are also some other programs that are available at your individual hospitals that may allow you to spread out payments of an intended dental procedure for your pets, too, Bill.
That's an excellent question, because I did hear, one of my patients was telling me that it costs more to get their dog's teeth cleaned than it did to get their own teeth cleaned. And I know part of that answer is because of the anesthesia, but and I'm not sure the rest of the answer, so what would you say to that?
Yeah, definitely the cleaning portion of that would be pretty similar to what I pay when I go to my dentist also. The rest of it happens to be anesthesia, because if we went under a general anesthetic every time we needed a dental cleaning ourselves, you can imagine what the cost for that might be. So it's pretty similar to the way it is with people at their dentist, except for the anesthesia.
Now, with humans, someone who needs to be anesthetized, they tend not to cover the sedation, they cover the procedure. And so I'm wondering, with that, you said it's not exactly insurance plan, but with that plan you just described, do they cover the anesthesia?
I think it goes by what type of plan that the people would sign up for. Dr. Kvitko, they have they'll do certain percentages of the components of it, so certain percentage of the anesthesia for it, certain percentage of the dental cleaning, dental x-rays, things like that too.
Okay. Just so that you know, we are talking to Dr. Tom Klein, and Dr. Klein is a veterinary dentist. He practices in Hilliard with his wife, Sue, who is also a veterinarian, at the East Hilliard Veterinary Services. And Dr. Klein, what's your, if someone wants more information from your veterinary business, excuse me, about a pet or whatever, do you have a website, a phone number? What can we give the listeners?
Sure. The website for the hospital is easthilliardvet.com, and our phone number is 614-876-7762.
Okay. And 876-7762?
That's correct.
In the 614 area code.
Mm-hmm.
And so now your wife is a veterinarian, and she does all of the routine care, and if there's teeth involved, then you do it, or does she do some of that too?
No, that's she defers that to me.
Okay.
We also have another associate, Dr. Chris, has been with us for about 11 years, and she does some general dentistry as well as general veterinary medicine and surgery.
Well, that's neat. So you have dental drills like I have.
Same drilling sound, yes.
The same drilling sound, except your patients are asleep. And honestly, a lot of my patients are sedated. We do a lot of oral and intravenous sedation, so they don't even hear those sounds. Okay, I think we have time for one more question before we have to go to our next break. And here's a question from a listener. It's, what helps with dogs' bad breath? Maybe you don't have enough time. Well, go ahead and start trying to answer that, and if I have to ask you to hold off to the rest of the answer until after the break, I will.
Okay, thanks. Well, dogs' bad breath can be caused by several things. The first thing I would do is get an accurate diagnosis from your veterinarian to determine what the cause of the odor is.
Doesn't have anything to do with what they've licked lately, does it?
Well, it could, let's say.
Okay, so assuming they haven't just been grooming themselves.
What? Yeah, the most common problem is periodontal disease or gum infection that causes an abnormal odor.
Okay, so a lot like humans.
Very much so.
Although in humans we also have onions and garlic and those kinds of things to contend with. And typically dog food, maybe I'm wrong, but does dog food have those types of spices in it?
It doesn't tend to. We don't tend to use onions in dogs because it can tend to be a problem causing some toxicity. So garlic is used on some of the more natural foods that are available now for dogs as a same type of thing for immune system defenses.
Okay. All right. Well, that does take us up to the 30 minutes after the hour break. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS. We'll be right back. Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. And this morning on the show with me here in the studio is Dr. Tom Klein. And Dr. Klein is a veterinary dentist. He practices at East Hilliard Veterinary Services along with his veterinarian wife, Sue. And so we're taking your questions about your pet's dental condition instead of your own dental condition. And now, you know how they say that pets kind of mirror their owner? That pets look like their owner. I wonder if your pet has gum disease, that means you have gum disease. Obviously, you can't answer that, but but you might, you know, maybe check next time. You know, you get dog comes in with periodontal disease, send them over to me, send the owner over, and I'll check them out. back to our questions, and that is, next question is, why do some animals seem to get periodontal disease and others don't? Because my dog has periodontal disease, and yet my mom says that her dog has never had it.
Well, a lot of it depends. A lot of periodontal disease in dogs depends on, number one, the type of dog that you have initially. So if you have a large dog that has more of a German Shepherd or a wolf-like head, they have a lot of natural cleansing the way their teeth bite down onto each other. They're carnivores, so their teeth don't meet like humans do.
Okay, so they slide across to each other.
They slide across,
like,
and
ears.
The upper jaw, the upper teeth lie over the lower one, so there's no contact between them. And they tend to use their mouth a lot to pick things up. Those Labradors carry things around, so a lot of self-cleaning goes on there. But if you have a smaller breed, I have a Boston Terrier, and you know how the bulldog look that they have. They have what's called a malocclusion, like you see a lot of your patients, where the teeth don't match up like they're supposed to.
Right.
And so those dogs will accumulate a lot more plaque because the natural cleansing action of their teeth anatomy is not there.
Well, and that makes a lot of sense. And for listeners, if you want to try something after we go off the air, of course, take a piece of white bread, just take a small piece, you know, and chew it. And notice how you've left little pieces in the biting surfaces of your teeth. And then if you go to the refrigerator and get a raw carrot, and eat that, you will find that the carrot will push the soft white bread right out of those grooves and valleys that are in your tooth. And that's a good explanation for you of what self-cleansing really means, is the natural function of chewing can actually clean your teeth. Now, we have a couple of questions on cats. This one says, from a listener, it says, Siamese cats are prone to periodontal disease. And it says, why more than other cats? Would that be the same thing, or...
Yes, that's a very astute listener there to notice that. Siamese, as we had talked about a little previously, the purebred cats and purebred dogs tend to have genetically a little bit higher incidence of periodontal disease. Siamese particular, I see a lot of Siamese cats with very severe periodontal disease.
And this person goes on to ask a couple more follow-up questions. Is it possible to brush a cat's tooth or cat's teeth? Can you really do that?
You sure can. Dogs and cats. Cats are a little tougher because the cats pretty much do what they want to. And dogs will do whatever you want them to for food, typically. So you can train dogs and cats to brush their teeth. It's actually a pretty easy procedure.
And they'll just smile while you do it? Or?
Well, it's a little different than it is with people because we only have to clean the outer surfaces of the teeth, so we don't actually have to open their mouth to brush your teeth.
Okay. So their teeth are together, and you're kind of pulling their lips back like you're getting ready to give them a pill, but you don't,
absolutely,
you don't pop their mouth open. And do you happen to have a favorite cat food, one that you, I don't mean for you to eat, I mean one that you would recommend for other, for people who, to give to their cats?
I would say that any hard food initially would be a wise thing to use for plaque reduction in cats, although there can be any soft foods would be good too, as long as they're name brand and a good quality. I would probably want to make sure that they speak to their own veterinarian about what would be a proper diet for their particular cat.
Okay, so you prefer dry, what I call dry?
Dry foods tend to reduce the plaque the most because of some of the natural cleansing that you had just spoken about. But soft foods can be absolutely fine for cats. They tend to need additional water as they get older for their kidney function. And so a little bit of brushing as well as soft food would still be fine.
Okay. And can you tell us about FIP, feline infectious periodontitis?
Okay. FIP is... feline infectious peritonitis.
I'm sorry, it's
okay.
Actually AIDS for cats.
Yes, no, that's fine, because periodontitis, we have that on our mind when we're thinking about teeth.
Leave it to a dentist thing.
That's fine.
AIDS for cats.
And although I'm not an expert on it, that is a very severe and mostly fatal viral condition of cats, that there is a vaccination that helps to prevent that available now, and there is some very good testing to make sure that your cat hasn't been exposed to FIP. It's they pick it up outside in contact with other cats that are infected.
So at what age should you consider having that vaccine for your kitten?
It would depend on your veterinarian's choice in terms of that particular cat. But typically they give three vaccinations 3 weeks apart as a young cat, and then once a year annually after that.
Okay. And, well, that's good advice. We don't have any young cats. Ours are older now, but we'll have to think about that when we get a kitten. Now, if my kids are listening, I don't bring home a kitten for Christmas. I'm not ready for that. Anyway, and you can never kind of get away from this. People do want to know. This question is, how much does it cost to get your cat's teeth cleaned without the anesthesia, for example? Can you give us a range? You don't have to give us your price if you don't.
I would say that the general range depends on how severe the periodontal disease is, because that determines how long the veterinarian will be working on that particular cat. And I would say in the Columbus area, just from what I know from my colleagues, it would probably be somewhere in the $250 to $350, including blood work, anesthesia, and things like that. It may be more, it may be less, depending on the practice and what they offer.
And the blood work you're doing is to make sure it's safe to anesthetize them. You're looking for blood glucose, obviously. Are the values the same as in a human? For example, if a human has 250, a reading of 250 or higher, I would not do the sedation that day?
Yes, they tend to run in the same ranges, although cats, just because they come to our veterinary office, they can have a blood glucose as high as 250 because of stress. So sometimes we don't look at that as we would on a dog or a human.
Okay. All right, we have time for, I think, one more quick question. What type of cat treats do you recommend to help your cat, that doesn't seem to chew his food?
Well, if we're looking for specific treats for plaque reduction, there are several of those that are available. And you want to just look for a seal from the Veterinary Oral Health Council, or it says VOHC on it. That's like the ADA certification for plaque reduction. And there are several that are available out there that are soft and hard. Your veterinarian can recommend one specific for your cats. And there are also some general soft treats that are available to help. You can even help train your cats with them if they like them a lot. There's many varieties available now for your cats.
Okay. I'm going to ask you this question. Don't give me the answer yet, because we do have to go to a break. but what's in catnip, and is there anything like it for humans? So you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we're talking to Dr. Tom Klein, a veterinary dentist, and we will be right back.
Smile a little smile for me, Rosemary.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Good morning. We are talking to Dr. Tom Klein, who is a veterinary dentist. Or is it a dental veterinarian? How do you prefer to go?
Veterinary dentist would be great.
Veterinary dentist, okay, of the East Hilliard Veterinary Services, along with his wife, Sue, who is also a veterinarian. And before the break, I asked Dr. Tom, what's in catnip that just drives the cats crazy? And is there, you know, I've never seen a cat that can walk past that stuff without just getting dopey and laying around and rolling in it and... You know, licking, and boy, it'd be nice if there was something that we could, maybe I could shoot my patients with that before they ever walked in the door. What do you think?
Well, it sure seems to be quite a hallucinogen for cats, whether it's fresh or dried, and they'll eat it right out of the, right off the plant and mow it right down to the ground outside. It's very effective. I don't think we really know the actual active ingredient in that that causes that.
Okay, so no one's really done any tests on it. I think and then as a follow up to that, you know how they have the cat treats? They're in the little the foil pouches, and if you want to give your cat a treat, they all eat that. What's in that that makes that taste so good that sometimes they'll turn their nose up at their food?
Well, I think it's possibly it could be because it's soft and has a lot of scent to it.
Yes.
That attracts cats. They probably have some flavor enhancers in there, that if it's a fish flavor, it's a really intense fish flavor, so it can kind of overpower their typical dry food that they would eat, and they would prefer it. And they're kind of conditioned to go to the foil noise. You open up the foil thing, and they always come running. So I think it's just because it's novel, and it's not given to them every day, that they prefer their treats over their dry food.
So if we gave it to them every day, they'd stop liking it? Or?
Well, perhaps with the flavor enhancers, they may be eating quite a few bags of it a day.
Because why don't they put that in the regular food? For instance, I fed my daughter's cat this morning, and I set the bowl down, she looked at it, sniffed it, and ran away.
Yeah, well, I think the other than periodontal disease, the largest problem in our cats is obesity, so perhaps we would be looking for things that would allow cats to eat a little bit less than a little bit more.
Well, yeah, you have a point there, because my kids do get on, my wife and I, because they say our animals are a little bit overweight, but that just looks like they're having more fun. Do you recommend that cats be kept indoors or outdoors, or do you not have a preference, and what would the advantages be of both?
Most of the cats seem to be strictly indoors, just because our pet owners work a lot, and the cats can tend to live really happily in a small area. It seems to me, though, that the cats that have the kind of the best balance, the least amount of behavior conditions, are those cats that are allowed to go out on a supervised with their owners, so that they can smell the air, they can dig a little bit in the dirt, they can walk around, enjoy the sunshine a little bit, and then come back in at night, so that you always know where they are.
So it's okay to let them out, but you think that either you should be out with them, or you should be able to see them, but never overnight.
That's correct. Some people that have screened-in porches, that's really nice, too, because they're contained and safe from dogs and other cats. Or also some of these harnesses that they put on that are very humane, that they can sit out with the cat for brief periods of time outdoors.
There's a harness you can put on a cat that it won't go crazy?
It depends on the cat. Some cats will just lay there, but a lot of cats will just go in and explore with this on. It's nice to be able to control them and not expect them to jump over the fence and leave.
And I know that here in Central Ohio, we actually have a problem with coyotes. And a cat and a small dog can be a meal, am I right?
That is absolutely correct, especially on the western part of Franklin County. Out where we live, we hear them and see them quite frequently, so I have to watch my little dog, too.
Yeah, we are very aware of that, and we try to be very careful. For those of you that didn't know that, you should keep that in mind. Back to a question here about a dog. When my dog is having his teeth cleaned, how long can I expect him to be at the office?
It depends on how severe it is. For a standard, let's say a standard dental cleaning, similar to what we may experience when we go to your office, And usually that's about 45 minutes or so, if I'm correct, in that most dogs will take about an hour for the anesthetized procedure, and then they'll want to keep them a couple hours afterwards for general recovery, just to make sure they're safe to go home.
So an hour for the procedure,
that's
and then
correct.
Another hour or two to recover?
That is correct.
Okay. How long waiting in the waiting room? No, I'm just teasing. we don't call it the waiting room anymore. It's the reception room where we receive people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and at what age should I consider a patient or a person first consider having their pet's teeth cleaned?
Since most of the pets are seen at their veterinary office annually, that's always a great time for the veterinarian to assess whether your pet needs dental care at that point. Some of our larger dogs, as we talked about, it may be year 5 or 6, or sometimes never. If they're very orally active, they may never need a dental cleaning.
Okay.
But the smaller breeds, we start looking right when their adult teeth come in to make sure everything is looking all right at 6 months of age, and then we just look at intervals of 6 months to annually after that.
All right, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS. We're talking to Dr. Tom Klein, who is a veterinary dentist, and we'll be right back to take your questions and give out some more great information.
Just smile, please stay for a while now. Just take your time wherever you go.
Tom knows that's one of my favorite songs. Thanks, Tom, for playing that. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS. I'm referring to my producer, Tom, not Dr. Tom Klein or Dr. Tom, who is a veterinary dentist who's been my guest today. And we have another question here from a listener, and it is there a cost difference between dogs based on their size? So, for example, I'm assuming this question has to do with teeth cleaning. Small dogs cheaper than big dogs or not?
It tends to be small dogs are usually less for anesthetic reasons because you use a lot less anesthesia. It's based on body weight, but that sometimes that's balanced out by the fact that smaller dogs tend to have more problems with their mouth that we find later once they're under anesthesia. So it's probably going to end up being pretty even.
Yeah, you see, when it comes to humans, oftentimes I'm very surprised to find that the tiny little woman, the one that really literally does weigh 95 pounds, takes what seems like an elephant dart dose of drug to get her sedated to stop talking so that I can work on her. And then you'll have this big football player guy comes in and you just kind of give him a tiny little bit of whatever and he's out. And so the weight isn't always the issue. It's their metabolism.
That's right.
And I believe that somebody with a high metabolism breaks these drugs down so quickly that, you know, you just keep having to give them a little bit more. And in our case, of course, well, you're doing the same thing. If the patient's talking, it's a little bit hard to work on them.
That's correct. It would be, especially with the type of teeth that they have. But I think it's so nice to see what you do for your patients with sedation, so it's very gentle for them and they don't have any fear. It's just like our pets under anesthesia. They don't have any fear or anxieties because they're asleep, and you can do a very complete job with them. I have to take my hat off to you for those people that have fear about dentistry, because I see it as owners of pets that are undergoing their dental care too, and to have someone like yourself that can do that with no fear for their for your patients, I think is tremendous.
Oh, well, thank you very much, and it is very rewarding, and it's nice to see the change in the person when we complete their services. Now, I know that you've, in fact, the question I have here is, have you ever worked on zoo animals? And we're running out of time, and so basically I just want to get a little bit of a hint into what kind of animals have you worked on, and are you able to come back with us next week? Maybe we can do another hour next week?
Oh, I'd love to come back.
Okay, that'd be great. So knowing that, we'll just talk a little bit about what other, for instance, have you ever worked on a tiger?
Yes, I have worked on a tiger, a white Bengal tiger at the Columbus Zoo.
Okay, now we're not going to go into detail
okay.
yet. How about, have you ever worked on a fish? Like, I guess maybe that's incorrect because a whale would be a mammal, but something that swims.
I haven't had the opportunity, although piranhas come to mind when you think about teeth.
So you've never worked on a shark. You've worked on horsetooth?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right, and so that's really cool. I can't wait to hear some of the details about that. How about, you tell me, what other exotic animals have you worked on?
Well, probably one of the ones that come to mind really quickly here is one that's in the news a lot, is polar bears, when we have all the discussion about global warming. And we were fortunate enough to go to the Pittsburgh Zoo and work on a polar bear. I'll be happy to give you the details on that next week. But it was quite an experience for a polar bear with an abscess tooth.
Yeah, and I'm wondering how you know that a polar bear has an abscess tooth, but we'll find out next week when Dr. Tom Klein comes back and is our guest again. Thanks for tuning in, and again, Dr. Klein, give out your phone number at the East Hilliard Veterinary Services.
It's 614-876-7762.
Great. And your email address is? Website. Real quick.
It's easthilliardvet.com.
All right. Thanks very much for listening. And please tune in next week where we'll talk about the exotic animals that have received veterinary dental care from Dr. Klein. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavicka.